clean, beautiful West Virginia coal. We love it. Right.
That's the president in Charleston, West Virginia, Tuesday night.
And you know, that's indestructible stuff. In times of war, in times of conflict, you can blow up those windmills, they fall down real quick. You can blow up those pipelines, they go like this, and you're not going to fix them too fast. You can do a lot of things to those solar panels, but you know what you can't hurt? Coal. You can do whatever you want to coal.
What was branded as a rally to support State Attorney General Patrick Morrisey's Senate campaign turned out to be more of a victory lap for the administration's newly announced Affordable Clean Energy Rule. Announced Tuesday, the public has 60 days to comment before the rule goes into effect. The proposal would relax emissions limits on power plants, and it's designed as a replacement for the Obama-era Clean Power Plan. It's being hailed as a win for the coal industry, but at this point, can the coal industry even be saved? James Van Nostrand is a professor and director of the Center for Energy and Sustainable Development at West Virginia University College of Law. James, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello, Matt. Good to be with you.
So I broadly outlined the rule, but can you get into a little bit of the specifics here? Does this completely erase the Clean Power Plan, and what do the changes mean?
It erases large portions of it. The Clean Power Plan was intended to produce reductions of greenhouse gas emissions of 32% by 2030. The estimates that the greenhouse gas emissions reductions under this replacement plan is more in the lines of 1 to 1.5% by 2030. So it eliminates a substantial portion of the Clean Power Plan.
Give us a sense of where the coal industry is in West Virginia right now and across the country more broadly.
Well, across the country, we've had a substantial number of coal retirements. Formerly, we had about 530 coal plants. We're down to about 260 within West Virginia. We had 16 power plants operating in 2012. We now have 10. And there'll be 9 after the first of the year. I mean, the president may be correct about coal being indestructible, but unfortunately, fewer and fewer utilities are burning it. It's just not cost effective as compared to natural gas, wind, and solar.
Does the rule help prevent the decline of the industry in any way, the new rule?
There's an aspect of it called the new source review. The slight revisions they're making to that may allow some existing coal plants to run a little bit longer. We don't see any utilities changing their plans based on this rule. No utility is building new coal plants, but it may extend the life of some existing plants by enabling utilities to make some minor improvements without doing wholesale upgrades that would have otherwise been required under the new source review.
Would that mean they'd be hiring? And obviously a lot of this comes back to jobs. I mean, could there be an increase in coal industry jobs at least in the short term?
There's really no projections that show that. I mean, there's the metallurgical coal market. Met coal is used to make steel. There's been a decent upturn there in employment. But for the steam or thermal coal, that market's depressed. You may have existing plants run a little bit longer. But in terms of new plants, anything's going to cause an increase in production. I don't see that happening.
So you live in Western Pennsylvania and you work in West Virginia. Is your sense that miners and others in the industry realize that, as you're saying here, that the rule change is not a long-term solution to the problems involved with the industry?
I think it's unfortunate that the president comes to Charleston and tries to raise expectation and hopes of the miners. In some respects, it's cruel to do so because it's really not going to change the long-term prospects for the coal industry. At the same time, I'm hearing from miners, reading some of the articles in the press, they do like having somebody in the White House who they feel is on their side. So even though they may be fairly realistic about the ability of the coal industry to come back, it's at least reassuring to them that someone's coming out there and saying the right things.
Yeah, it has an emotional effect, if nothing else.
Yes, exactly.
The fine print reveals that there could be 1,400 premature deaths every year because of these changes. Is that a reasonable estimate? And where does that number come from?
Well, there are a lot of judgment calls when EPA does what's called a regulatory impact analysis or a cost-benefit analysis. And basically, if the coal plants continue to operate longer, we have what's called co-benefits, and that's the other pollutants in addition to CO2. And so those estimates are based on the fact that you might still have particulate matter, soot, things that contribute to ozone if these coal plants continue to operate, and that could result in more in more premature deaths. But there are a lot of judgment calls, really, in terms of how to do that cost-benefit analysis. Another example is they're talking about how this new plan will result in lower electricity rates. Well, if utilities are actually using more natural gas, wind and solar and coal is more expensive, it would seem like if we're going to have more coal or the coal plants lasting longer, that would result in higher utility rates. And so there are a lot of manipulation of these numbers, frankly, and the Trump administration is coming under fire for its efforts to undo a couple elements of the Obama climate action plan. And a lot of it is messing with these numbers on how they do the cost-benefit analysis.
Who does the cost-benefit analysis? Is that the administration? Is that the DEP? Yes, how does that work?
EPA staff.
EPA staff.
Utilities will provide the estimates in terms of what the compliance costs will be, and then the staff will try to come up with numbers in terms of what are the health benefits in terms of reduced premature death, fewer hospital visits, fewer lost time days from work.
How are the other health and environmental changes, how might they be felt if this rule goes into place?
Well, I think it's just going to have, you're going to have increased pollutants in the atmosphere if we have these coal plants running longer. Those are the localized impacts of particulate matter, soot, more ozone. And what that will lead to is premature deaths, more emergency room visits, things like that, more lost time time from work.
Today, news of Trump's speech and the rule change. Is this on the cover of the newspaper? Is this what people are talking about over in West Virginia and Western Pennsylvania?
Yes, and all the politicians in West Virginia are very supportive and very enthusiastic about this rule change. It's pretty much uniformity, bipartisan across the board. This is a great thing for West Virginia.
James Van Nostrand is professor of law and director of the Center for Energy and Sustainable Development at West Virginia University College of Law. James, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Matt.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.